Turn your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to be speaking about a time of remembering. Hebrews chapter 12. Begin reading in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. This chapter begins building upon what's preceded it in chapter 11, often called Face Hall of Fame, as it recounts the various individuals and the many things that they accomplished by faith. These witnesses, it says, were compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. Those of Hebrews 11 are those witnesses referred to. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day, time to remember. For many, the celebration began Friday, as the first long weekend of the summer season coming upon us. You know, a lot of times we get hung up in the details that are meaningless. Where did it start? Who had the first Memorial Day? How should we celebrate it? The important thing is not any of that, but rather that we do remember the witnesses. Not only these of Hebrews chapter 11, but the many that have gone before us and allowed us to have what we enjoy here in this country of ours. Our forefathers, those witnesses that went before us, are worthy of our recognition, of our remembering them. That's the point. Remember them and what they did for us. The freedom that we have to assemble here like this morning. I think we forget not everybody enjoys that. The freedom to be able to do what we want tomorrow, whether it be to go to the cemetery to remember departed loved ones and departed veterans, or just to have a picnic with family, or whatever you choose to do or not to do. Freedom. That's what we have. Because of those who have gone before us. Remember our veterans. I think it's important to remember our veterans. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. It says, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets. What are several of those mentioned there? What were they? Anyone? Military. David, yes, he was king. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart. Yes, he was a psalmist of Israel. But he was a soldier. Gideon was a soldier. Joshua was a soldier. And it's, some would say, well, you know, the war is just about killing things and blowing stuff up. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. But there's also a lot of value in that. The nation of Israel was built by soldiers. Joshua, Gideon, Barak, and David. They didn't get to be what they became under the reign of David without the soldier. And I say America didn't get where we got without the soldier. I've got a poem I want to read to you by a man by the name of Charles M. Province. He said this, "It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is a veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is a veteran, not the community organizer, who has given us the freedom to assemble. It is a veteran, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of press. It is a veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is a veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It is a veteran who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows a protester the right to burn that flag." I believe it's worthwhile to remember our veterans, especially those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we in this country enjoy. Those brave men and women who wore the uniform and served in our military, several of you represented here this morning. Listen, I know they're just human beings, just like you and I. Somebody's children, somebody's spouse, serving or have served and given their lives for us to enjoy all that we have. I realize they have flaws. They have their sins, their sinful nature, just like every one of us. They're not perfect. But the thing is, in many cases, when the occasion called for it, they stood up, they responded, they did what needed to be done, oftentimes to the detriment of their own well-being, because it was their duty. And for that, they deserve our honor. I know some of them didn't all willingly serve, and some of them didn't serve for the right motive, but they served. They served us, and they deserve our honor. John chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus said this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I know Jesus is talking about himself and the sacrifice that he's preparing to make at that time, just days away from the crucifixion that he's going to endure. But I believe there's application. It's a great sacrifice that those who have stood up and answered the call and fought in the cause for our freedoms. Soldiers played a vital role in scriptures we've seen here. We remember our soldiers on this day as we think about all that they did for us. But I think it's wise for us too to remember the heroes of the faith. As Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of these different ones, and Moses and Abel and Noah and all these who, by faith, it says, subdued kingdoms, fought with lions, answered the call of God in their lives. Like our national heroes, these men aren't perfect. They're flawed just like every one of us. And sometimes I think we go to the Bible or even we look at some of our national heroes and so forth and think, boy, there's a greater in life human being. Look, they're human beings just like us. They put their pants on one leg at a time. Moses is no greater than any one of us here. He was just a man. A man surrendered to God for the call on his life. And these heroes of the faith, as we think about them and think about what they did, and we look at the apostles, and you think about the great sacrifice that they made for our faith. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Again, these men, not perfect. They had their shortcomings, their sins, their flaws, their weaknesses, but they boldly preached the Word of God and spread the gospel throughout the known world of their time. The Philippians chapter 2, Look at verse 17. Paul said this, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." Paul says, I'm ready to be offered. My life is God's to use in whatever way He chooses. He was stoned and drug out of the city and left for dead. He was shipwrecked numerous times. He was arrested. He was beaten. And He came back for more. And He wrote 14 of the 27 New Testament books. I believe He's worthy of being recognized for what He did. And the other apostles, Peter and James and John, who also gave their lives that we might have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. This is Paul again as he's gathered the believers of Ephesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he can't go to see them, so he's called them to meet him along the way. And he says to them this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." I mean, everywhere he's going, he's getting warnings. God is raising up prophets to say, "Paul, it's not going to be good. What you're going to experience, what you're going to suffer, is not going to be good." He says that everywhere I go, I'm getting these warnings. Bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." These forefathers of our faith, these first century believers who counted it all loss but for Jesus Christ, to spread the gospel throughout the known world. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's in prison as he writes 2 Timothy. And God has made it clear to him that the end is nigh. And he says this in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all those also that love His appearing." Paul got to the end, and he looked back. He says, "Whew, I'm done. I'm ready to go home." And he truly did fight a good fight. He fought it for us. It didn't stop with Paul and the apostles, though. It carried on through the centuries. And you come up to the Middle Ages with the reformers who broke against the chains of the Roman Catholic Church to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And the men who hazarded their lives to preserve and to translate this book that we've got today. Men like John Huss, John Wycliffe, who died, William Tyndale, who died for the purpose of trying to get the Word of God into the language of the common man. Because for centuries, the Roman Catholic Church had kept this thing under lock and key. Christians didn't have, or if they did have a copy of any of the Scriptures, they risked their lives to possess it. They didn't want it. They wanted it kept in the original languages and in Latin so that the people couldn't understand it. But these men said, we want it so that the youngest plowboy can go out there and read and have the Word of God himself. And we can sit in the comfort of our homes today, take our own copy, probably multitudes of copies around our homes, and sit and read the very Word of God provided for us by these men and the great sacrifice that they made for us. Right here. Not just a reliable translation. This is the Word of God that I hold in my hands. As inspired as the original autographs, right there. That's God's Word. I believe that. And we owe these men for what we have here. In Revelation 12:11, it says that they loved not their lives unto the death. That was Paul. That was the reformers. That was those who translated the Word of God and brought it down to us. They suffered. They were persecuted. They were imprisoned. They died fulfilling God's call and spreading the Word of God throughout the known world. And then you come on to the Great Awakening and the men like Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield, Charles Finney, Dwight L. Moody, Billy Sunday, who spread throughout this country as it was in its formative years and preaching the gospel, and in fact having an influence on the framers of our Constitution. The reason we have freedom of religion in this country, the reason we have the Bill of Rights, is because of a Baptist. Because they wanted to be sure that we had freedom of religion. Not freedom from religion, freedom of religion in this country. They fought for that in Rhode Island. The first place, before this nation was founded, before our Constitution was adopted, and Rhode Island was the very first place in the entire world that true religious liberty existed. Because even some of the founders, the Puritans and the Pilgrims, they established their own state churches here in America. And the Baptists in Rhode Island says, look, they fled there away from those state churches that were set up. And as this country was being formed, they said, look, we want to be assured that we will be free to practice our religion as we choose. They fought for that. And we should honor those men and women today, tomorrow, as we think of Memorial Day, who gave us all that we have, all that we enjoy as Christians in the United States of America. We are free because others paid a price to bring our freedom. Remember the heroes of our faith. But thirdly, we need to remember those who contributed to our personal faith and all that had a part in what we as individuals are today. Around Christmas time, we had two funerals that we went to. The first one was out in Kansas. Arnold Prather, a man that I'd worked for when we lived out there, a man who had served in the Korean War, a man who was not only an employer, but a friend, and attended our church. We got there on that Friday in between Christmas and New Year's just in time to go to the Graveside Cemetery and the military burial there. And then I preached the funeral for him on the next day, Saturday. What an honor that was to be a part of that. A man who had not only served our country, but had, in a sense, served me in a small way as well. And then not long after that, there was another funeral I went to up in New York State for a man by the name of Ken Snyder, the man who's responsible for me getting saved. The man whose witness resulted in me trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Who's your hero? Who contributed to salvation in your life? Who introduced you to Jesus Christ? Who witnessed to you, shared the gospel with you? Remember those heroes. Remember those significant people. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." These women, his mother and his grandmother, contributed to Timothy's faith. Responsible for his coming to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. How about you? Who's contributed in your life? Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. "According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Paul suffered. He was hurting physically when he wrote this letter to the people of Philippi. He says, "I just want to go home to heaven. That's what's best for me. All the physical ailments, the afflictions from the beatings and the stonings and all that he had suffered and endured." He says, "I'm tired." But then look at this. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Did somebody suffer on your behalf to bring you the gospel in some way, shape, or form? Or to help you to grow after you got saved? I think of the Snyder family who took me into their home as one of their own children and taught me the Bible and just allowed me to be there in that Christian environment to help to shape me into the man of God that I am today. Thank God for faithful servants who were willing to sacrifice themselves, and maybe not in a great way, not like Paul necessarily, but nevertheless they sacrificed. But how about some others? Maybe not so much in a spiritual way. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom was Roman Catholic. That's what I was raised, Roman Catholic. My dad drank his God. My mom worshipped a false god. But you know what? My parents loved me. And in spite of my dad's weaknesses, his sins, his failures, there were still some things, some good things that he communicated to me, that he put into my life, a work ethic. In spite of all the failings and faults, he was a good worker, a faithful worker to his employer. That's what he taught me, taught my siblings. That's worth something, folks. That's worth remembering and honoring. My mom and dad died in 1978. Been a long time. It still hurts. They never got to see any of their grandkids. I guess that's one of the greatest regrets that I have, is they never lived to see any of my children. My children never got to meet them. Because in spite of their faults and their failings, there were some good qualities that they not only passed on to me, that they possibly could have passed on to my children as well. Remember those who have made us what we are. And may I challenge you, if If your parents are still alive, in spite of their faults, in spite of their sins, in spite of their shortcomings, you honor them. That's the first commandment with promise, the Bible says. Honor thy father and mother. I've seen too many families torn apart because some issue came up and they aren't talking anymore and they won't have anything to do with each other anymore. What a heartache that is. If you do all you can to make things right with your folks, if you've got a problem with them today, they made you what you are. Remember them. Honor them. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I've expanded this beyond just those of the faith, but we're to remember those and honor those over us. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I'll give an account for you one day. As a pastor, I'm responsible for you. I've failed. I know I've failed. But I try to do right. I try to do what's best. I try to speak when need to speak and try to be cautious about that. But I will give an account as one who watches over your souls, that I may do it with joy and not with grief. But again, think about your parents in this respect as well. I, as a parent of some adult children, you know, they don't understand sometimes. They don't appreciate sometimes. But those of us who have been down the road a little bit farther than they are do know some things they don't know. We know some of the consequences of some things they haven't experienced yet. And we try to intervene, we try to give our advice, and they just resent it and get mad, and there comes that breach again, right? Honor them. Respect them. Give them a little grace. Because they're desiring to give an account with joy and not with grief. They watch for your souls. Even if your parents are unsaved, they still care about you and what you become. Remember those who have contributed to your faith and all that you are. Back to Hebrews chapter 12 now, verse the fourth one now. Remember to live a life worthy of being remembered. All through Hebrews chapter 11, he talks about all the things that were accomplished by these various individuals throughout the Old Testament. How faith that they offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Moses turned his back upon the wealth of Egypt. By faith, all these things. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, because of these who have gone before us, these who have walked down the path already, they're witnesses, they're watching, they're cheering, they're hoping that we'll succeed as well. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You think about maybe running a marathon. You got the crowds all around along the streets watching and cheering. And come on, a little longer, a little farther. Come on, press on. That great crowd of witnesses looking over the banner of heaven, cheering us on. Just a little farther. Jesus Christ might come back before we finish today. Maybe it'll be 10 years. I don't know. But we need to keep pushing on to the end, laying aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Because as they pushed on, as they pressed, as they finished, and Paul said again, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. He was ready to seize the prize because he'd finished with patience. And now he says, come on, because there's somebody coming behind you. The greatest honor I believe we can give to those who've gone before us is to finish well for those who are coming behind us. To be the example to them that they were to us. That our lives too could be worthy of the honor that they deserve. To finish well the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe there was a dual nature of Jesus Christ. Yes, he was God in the flesh. He turned the water to wine. He walked on the water. He performed all those miracles. But he still wept. He hungered. He thirsted. He was in all points tempted, like as we are. He took upon him the form of a man, Philippians tells us. It was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That death which he despised and sat down at the right hand of God. He knew what he was about to face. That's why he prayed in that garden, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That was not a pleasant prospect that he was facing. He understood all the pain and the agony and the suffering that he was about to endure as he faced that cross. And he prayed, if possible, that it could pass. But then it was, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He endured that, despising his shame, because of the joy that was set before him. As we consider the great cloud of witnesses, there's the greatest one we're to consider. Jesus Christ. What he endured for us. What he did for us. And now he asks of us to take up our cross and to follow him. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Doesn't matter if you believe that or not, but I believe that. And as he wrote that, he said, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You think Paul ever wanted to quit? I do. He said, man, to depart and to be with Christ is far better for me. Lord, take me! Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Not my will, but thine be done. May we finish as well. May we strive to be among those witnesses and to cheer the others on and have them remember us. And most importantly, to hear from the very lips of God Himself, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of thy kingdom. Remember on this Memorial Day our soldiers. Remember those heroes of the faith. Remember those who have contributed to your faith. Remember to finish well. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, you know our weaknesses. You know our failings, the temptations we struggle against, those which we succumb to. God, give us strength to finish well. Give us the courage to push on. God, help us to remember those who have gone before us. And may our lives reflect well on them. That our lives be profitable, not only to ourselves, but unto you as well. God, speak to the hearts of your people as you see the need this morning. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, help them to understand what you've done for them in dying on the cross and paying the price for their sin. To offer them forgiveness, redemption, the glorious liberty of the children of God, adoption into the family of God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here this morning, may they be drawn to you, to trust in you, we pray. And help us all, God, to finish our course with joy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.